presented by DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
I said as a part of yesterday's show, I expect Georgia to win the game on Saturday, and I don't really expect it to be close. That does not mean, however, that I don't think that Notre Dame brings a lot to the table and potentially a lot worthy of respect, something you have to pay pretty close attention to. For instance, when you look at the situation involving the Fighting Irish quarterback, for instance, Ian Book is a name that's going to certainly be paid close attention to. When you listen to Georgia coaches and players talk this week, one of the things they're going to talk about is the fact that the game plan for Saturday begins and ends with knowing where Book is at all times, knowing what he's doing, knowing what he's bringing to the table. That is obviously a very important part of this game plan for Georgia. Paying very close attention to all of that is going to certainly be important for the Bulldogs on Saturday. Book has been a guy that has shown an ability to be able to do it with his arms and his legs, and that's clearly something to be paying close attention to on Saturday. In fact, Kirby Smart himself, when he did his a press conference on Monday to look ahead to what's going to happen on Saturday, he talked about Ian Book and the specific challenge that this quarterback dual threat with his arms and his legs brings to the table. Here's what Kirby said about Book going back to yesterday.
As far as Ian Book, he's very talented. The guy's fast, explosive. He's a dual-threat guy that doesn't have to be a dual-threat guy. I mean, he's exactly what is hard to prepare for, because when a play breaks down, a lot of times you think it's a coach or a defensive coach, you got it right. You finally got it right, and then all of a sudden he gets a 10-yard gain on a play that you got it right on. You know, you had him for a sack or you had him for a no gain. He turns it into a 10-yard gain. He has a lot of explosive plays where he scrambles to throw and scrambles to run. He's not a guy that just does one. He does both. And it's frustrating. You have to be really patient because, you know, you want to get him as a rusher, and then when you don't get him, you get frustrated, and it goes from being a lost yardage play to being, you know, second and five. He's really talented. Very impressed.
Georgia safety J.R. Reed had an even more colorful way of describing his impressions of Book, comparing him to one of the most dynamic quarterbacks in recent SEC history, the former Heisman Trophy winner at Texas A&M, Johnny Manziel. Here's J.R. Reed on that.
You know, Ian Book, he's a great quarterback. You know, really, really shows up on film that he loves to extend his plays. You know, he can run the ball really well. It reminds me a lot of Johnny Manziel, and we're going to have to watch out for him and be able to contain him.
And then kind of diving more deeply in that, Reed had a funny exchange with a reporter about, you know, what you would do to stop him. Would you, you know, put a defender to spy him the entirety of the game? And I thought Reed had kind of a funny answer when questioned about that. Here's more from Reed.
It's a runner, so you got everything covered, and then next thing you know, he squirts out and runs for 20 yards because everyone's back's turned. So we got to be able to, you know, contain him, prevent him from extending the plays and making big plays.
Do you spy him?
I don't know.
Would you? I mean, if you were the coach.
Personally, if I was playing Madden, I might spy him.
I mean, I think we've all been there before. I'm not a big video game guy, but I've played enough Madden to know that sometimes when you're watching football, you do kind of think of it from that standpoint of how you would strategize this yourself if you're holding the controller in your hand as opposed to just watching it on the field in front of you or on the TV screen in front of you. But ultimately, when you hear the respect that Reed and Kirby Smart and others have for Ian Book, it obviously does set up a scenario where Georgia has a big question facing it on Saturday of what do you do to limit Book? What do you do to stop him when the Fighting Irish come to town? And I guess my suggestion off the top of our program today, Dog Nation Daily presented by Deamer Box, my suggestion off the top here today is that the real issue in terms of what you do to limit Book may not be about how much you spy Book with a defender, and it may not be really anything related to Book whatsoever. It may be what you do to neutralize the potential offensive weapons that Book has around him. Let me set this up in kind of a weird way. So late Saturday night, early Sunday morning, honestly, can't remember which one it was now, I was watching, you know, Tom Hart and Jordan Rogers and Cole Kublik, that trio that does the SEC Network game together. They also do kind of a streaming video show after that's over to kind of wrap up the weekend and kind of share their thoughts. I think those guys have pretty good chemistry together, and they're a pretty opinionated group, so I like kind of hearing what they say. We've had Tom Hart on the show plenty of times. Cole Kublik's been on before, too, so, you know, that's a group of guys whose opinions when it comes to college football I kind of respect. And they were talking about Alabama this past Saturday. In the midst of talking about Alabama and its wide receivers, now follow me here for a moment. In the midst of talking about Alabama and its wide receivers, Cole Kubelik relayed something that Kirby Smart had said to them about how that Georgia had game planned against Alabama's offense going back to the SEC championship game. And I believe what Kirby told Kubelik about how they defended Alabama may also have something to do this weekend with how Georgia tries to defend Notre Dame. So listen to Cole talking about Georgia defending Alabama and see if you think that same game plan might apply here to the Dogs in Notre Dame. Here's the SEC Network analyst Cole Kubelik.
We talked to Kirby at Media Days, and he said our plan was to jam them all night, get them off their routes, disrupt the timing, and it worked. Now, they got pressure, too, which Georgia had not really done all of last year.
So think about this for a moment. Yes, I know the Georgia-Alabama game didn't result in a UGA victory, but you'd have a hard time saying before DeAndre Walker left the game with an injury that Georgia didn't have a winning defensive game plan. Georgia did get pressure on Tua Tagovailoa, probably hit him as much as they hit any quarterback all season long, and hit Tua in the December SEC championship game about as much as any team had hit him at any point in time up till that point. And part of the way in which Georgia apparently got that pressure was making sure those really good Alabama wide receivers, and gosh knows they got speed and size and everything else. Georgia apparently, according to Kirby Smart, said the one thing we want to make sure we do on every snap is make sure that these receivers at the line know they're being defended. We want to pop them. We want to be physical. We want to press up on them and make sure we body them up right there. And I honestly believe that same type of defensive game plan may transfer over here to what's going to happen with Georgia and Notre Dame on Saturday. Not because the Notre Dame receivers are as talented and as physical and speedy as the Alabama guys are. To be frank, they are not. But when you're looking to contain Ian Book, someone who wants to run and someone who wants to throw, if you take away that option to find a receiver open on your first read, all of a sudden now you've now limited the capabilities of what Book brings to the table. We spent a lot of time talking yesterday about how that ultimately, no matter how you slice this game up and no matter how you try to spin this from either team's perspective, the one thing you keep coming back to is the overwhelming talent advantage that Georgia enjoys in this game. And I believe a lot of that for Georgia rests with the defensive backs. Now, not every defensive back that Georgia's going to play on Saturday is a former five-star. Eric Stokes plays like a former five-star in a lot of ways, but there is a lot of talent there, and it's deep, too. Let me give you an example of this. Kirby Smart was asked about his starting corners yesterday. He was asked about Eric Stokes. He was asked about Tyson Campbell, and listen to how quickly Kirby kind of pivots to the other guys in this cornerback group right now. Kirby Smart again.
Yeah, I'm excited about what Eric and Tyson have both done, but I'm also excited about Tyrique Stevenson and DJ, who continue to get better each day with their execution.
It's a pretty common theme from Kirby Smart. When given a chance to talk about his cornerbacks of the last few months, even dating back to the spring, the one thing that Kirby seems to pivot back to is the depth in this group. I think Kirby's pretty confident about these defensive backs, letting them play physical at the line of scrimmage on Saturday against the Notre Dame receivers. I think that's the kind of thing that Kirby and Georgia might be looking to do again, especially if we assume that Tyson Campbell, who had a big game against Arkansas State, is healthy. Now, we'll obviously have to wait and see how all that plays out over the course of the week, but Campbell is the example of a guy who presents a real challenge for any opposing offense. And after some rough moments of getting beat a little bit in 2018, apparently he's coming to his own here this season. In fact, to go back to J.R. Reed for a moment, as our buddy Connor Riley asked Reed yesterday kind of what he's seen from Campbell, and it's pretty clear he's seen some growth and some maturity and maybe something else that's important as well. Here's Reed on the subject.
He's got his confidence back. You know, this Tyson year, Campbell, you know, I told him just work on being your confidence back. You know, next play mentality. Don't worry about what happens before. And so what you saw out there on Saturday was a guy that had his full confidence back.
Full confidence back. That's a point that apparently Kirby Smart kind of agrees with as well, because let's face it, one of the big assets that Campbell has at his disposal right now is the experience he gained a year ago, and Smart also echoed that theme on Monday too.
Yeah, I'd say he's more confident. I think you can't help but be more confident after you go through a rookie season and you playing in the SEC and you're playing opposite of D. Baker. So he got a lot of throws last year. He and Stokes both did. But he's a year older. He's a year stronger. He's a year more mature. He understands our system better. And it allows him to play with a little more confidence.
So listen, let me see if I can wrap up this entire discussion. obviously, so much for Georgia is going to center on what it does with Ian Book on Saturday. But the real issue, hopefully we've learned over the last few minutes, is not necessarily what you do to limit Book, but what you do to limit Book's options. If he's being, if his receivers are being bodied up by physical Georgia defensive backs, if they're being run with step for step, all of a sudden the dual threat, all of a sudden that's cut in half for Ian Book. And all of a sudden it's a lot easier to predict what he's going to do and potentially a lot easier to contain him. Yes, I know Jalen Hurts got free last year in the SEC championship. We remember him using his legs to great effect and to great disappointment for UGA fans who are obviously trying to win that game. Something tells me, though, this is a different Georgia defense with a different level of talent, maybe a different level of ability to scheme up for an opponent like this. I believe that on Saturday, Book's going to be turned into a one-dimensional quarterback, a quarterback forced to run because he's got no one else to throw to. And if Georgia knows that's coming, all of a sudden it becomes a lot easier for them to stop that. Good morning, everybody. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented today by Deamer Box. And it's great to have you with us, no matter how you get to us today. Live on video, 10 a.m., Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Radio Noon, of course, on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and as a podcast, wherever you find them, Apple, Google, the world-famous DogNation.com. Just really, really glad to have you with us. And as I said before, really appreciate Deamer Box for making this all possible. Now, if you're watching on video, you can see the Deamer Box right now. Many of you listening radio podcasts may be wondering, what in the world is this? So when I tell you this is military grade, I mean, it is military grade. You could drop this thing up the top of a skyscraper, and it's going to hold together. It's like the ultimate tailgating kind of apparatus, really. It's a Bluetooth speaker, like 40 hours of battery life. This thing, the Bluetooth speaker works from like 100 feet away. But when you open it up, it's like a Pelican-type carrying case. So on a day when you got expecting rain or you just got a bunch of knuckleheads hanging around your tailgate, you can put your valuable stuff kind of inside here, protect it really well. It's also got obviously a lot of outdoor usages as well. You know, you can take it, I know hunting season's opened up. This is a great thing to take with you out there. A lot of you guys, gals like to go fishing on the weekend. It's a good opportunity there for you too. And we've got a great offer right now for Dog Nation Daily listeners and viewers. Let me tell you more about this. You can go to the website, which is DeamerBox.com/DogNation. DeamerBox.com/DogNation. Use the promo code DogNation, and we're going to give you $50 off the first 100 orders. Now, we've already had a lot of folks take advantage of that, but still some opportunity for you today. $50 off the first 100 orders. Make sure you check out DeamerBox Dog Nation Daily, presented by DeamerBox here today. A couple other quick pieces of business to take care of. Of course, Jeff Sintel coming up as a part of our Marlowe's Tavern Insider Update. Dog Nation Express, I told you this was going to happen, and it has. We are completely sold out. We have no more tailgate tickets, no more bus tickets. Dog Nation Express has completely sold out. Huge thanks for Kroger and Pella Window and Dorf making that possible, but we cannot fit any more people into our Dog Nation Express tailgate, but it's going to be awesome on Saturday. I can't wait for it. So if you're going to be there, a part of it, and be with us, really excited about that. However, if you missed out on Dog Nation Express, the doors are still open for our big Marlowe's matchup event this Thursday at the Marlowe's in Peachtree Corners. Our first time being there at the Marlowe's in Peachtree Corners. Really excited about being there for that. 5210 Town Center Boulevard. That's 5210 Town Center Boulevard in Peachtree Corners. We'll talk to Jeff Sintel more about that in a moment. Let me let you hear a little bit of Brian Kelly before we get to Jeff Sintel here today. Kelly, weekly press conference yesterday. Great respect for UGA. Starting on the offensive side of the ball, here's what Kelly said about that.
We know the talent that they have offensively, an outstanding offensive line that they're extremely physical and protects Jake Fromm very well. Probably five running backs that can touch the field and do great things with the ball in their hands. I don't know what else you say about them. It's just a very balanced offense that can run it, can throw it, a quarterback that manages it extremely well. And that's before you even get to the defense.
But speaking of that defense, Kelly also pretty impressed with that group too, so much so that he kind of plays the heavy underdog card here at the end of this clip, impressed with the Georgia offense, impressed with the Georgia defense too.
You know, obviously Kirby takes great pride in that defense, and this one's talented, but it's really deep as well, especially on the defensive line that they can run six, seven, that we counted, I think, last night, eight guys that are interchangeable. SEC top-level defense, well-coached and attacking. Probably not telling anybody here what you haven't seen. It's all true. It's all true. Very, very good defense. They can keep bringing players at you. We've seen some really great defenses over the last few years, but haven't had the kind of depth that they have. No perceived weaknesses in this group. So we'll try to muster together 22 guys, get them on a plane, go down to Athens and see what we can do.
Interesting to hear Kelly kind of play the aw shucks card there at the end of, hey, we'll try to get 22 guys we can find to play. We'll go down there and kind of see what happens. Kind of an interesting gamesmanship, I think, from Kelly with that line. He also references the SEC. Later on in today's show, we're going to bring on a special guest, Mike Frank, Irish Sports Daily, who knows the Irish really well. I'm going to ask him, does the fact that Notre Dame gets to play an SEC team here, does that mean anything to Notre Dame? Does that add any extra juice to the Irish on their side of this, what is obviously a highly anticipated matchup here at UGA? So we're going to look forward to doing a lot of talk about Georgia-Notre Dame over the course of the next few days, including today on Dog Nation Daily presented by Diemer Box. And obviously a big part of that is what's going to happen on the recruiting side of things as well. Long list of elite 4- and 5-star visitors to UGA. Let's find out more about that with our buddy Jeff Sintel as a part of our Marlowe's Tavern Insider Update. Great to have you with us on Dog Nation Daily presented by Diemer Box.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Busy week for Georgia when it comes to recruiting. Of course, the guy that's on top of all of that is our buddy Jeff Sintel, and he joins us here now for our Marlowe's Tavern Insider Update. You can get bite-sized pieces of intel every single day at the forum at forum.dognation.com and then frequently as well at the world-famous dognation.com when Jeff is checking in, including today, with kind of an official look at the visitors who are going to be in place in Athens on Saturday. Jeff Sintel, looking forward to talking to you about this over the course of the next few minutes. Appreciate you being with us, and I'm guessing you're going to probably say to me and to everybody else that when it comes to this visitors list, this is about as good as anything I can remember. How does it rank for you in terms of what you've seen Georgia do in the past?
Yeah, that's a good question, Brandon. Good morning, everybody. This is one of those weeks where I kind of go from maybe reporter, insider, Brandon's wingman to kind of more like astronomer. That's when everybody bumps into me or sees me around campus or anywhere. They're like, so who's going to make it? And then some weird words will say, okay, who's not going to make it? And is this a problem for the program? Brandon, that's a good question. I'm currently marinating that one through my head. It's a Tuesday. It's already, the list has already turned up on a Tuesday, but I would say right now it needs a little bit more juice, like maybe 4 or 5 more 5-stars to get it somewhere around 12 or 13. Because I seem to remember, I think it was 2017 when Georgia was just popping up, I think Georgia had more 5-stars when you sit there and you think about Owen Papo, Jaden Hazelwood, Trayvon Walker, Nolan Smith, Justin Fields. I think Georgia had a little bit more juice on the 5-star front. At least that's what it feels like to me. But we're only already on a Tuesday, and there are 5-stars coming in from Utah, Nevada, North Carolina, some Texas, some Louisiana 5-stars are also kind of thinking about it as well. So it should be a very fun week and a very busy week, and I'm sure that that team in red and black will give everybody a good show to watch on Saturday.
Our Marlowe's Tavern Insider Update, let's kind of dive in a little bit more deeply in a couple of these guys. Let me start with the tight ends. You've obviously talked a lot about Theo Johnson being there and Darnell Washington being there. I believe both these guys are taking official visits for this game, if I have my information correct on that. And you know, by now, Todd Hartley's tweets have made it pretty clear that Georgia's trying to build a kind of a super team tandem at this tight end position. I take some symbolic meaning in the fact that Johnson and Washington are willing to be here together, the fact that Georgia is willing to host both these guys together. I take that as a pretty symbolic representation of how comfortable Johnson and Washington are with that idea. It doesn't mean they're going to both say yes to the pitch from Georgia, but certainly they're comfortable with it. We know Georgia wants it. It is somewhat telling that these two guys are on campus together, is it not?
Yeah, it's a big deal, Brandon. I think that's the pitch to get them both together. And you will also see that on that list we published, I don't know, about 35 minutes ago on DogNation.com, you'll also see that the other official visitor that's already confirmed for this weekend is quarterback Carson Beck and his family. And I think that's no small feat considering that Beck's going to be in town doing everything officially with both Theo Johnson and Darnell, Darnell Washington as well. Those guys are going to be linked up. They're going to be buddied up. And I think that's a good thing for what Georgia's trying to build with the super team, especially some supersized options at the tight end spot. We'll have a lot from a lot of those guys over the course of this week, but I think that's very interesting. I think Georgia has to hit a home run and check all the bases with not just the Darnell Washington visit or the Theo Johnson visit, because the program has shown it can do that with regularity on official visits. I think it's the tandem aspect where both of them have to hear a plan and hear a pitch about how they will be used well together.
How well do you think Carson Beck compares to, I mean, Justin Fields was an incredible magnet for recruits on the recruiting trail. Jake Fromm was a offensive side of the ball leader of that 2017 class, much the same way LeCount was kind of a leader on that defensive side. How do you kind of compare Carson Beck's recruiting abilities to other quarterbacks that you've seen, and how effective of a weapon do you think he could be for Georgia this weekend? He's obviously seen what he needs to see from Georgia, but how good is he at conveying that message to undecided folks like Washington, Johnson, and whoever else might happen to be there?
You know, it's funny, Brandon. I think most of Mr. Beck's gravity takes place in the state of Florida. A lot of the boys in the state of Florida know him really well. He's connected with guys like Gervon Dexter, Jalen Carter, just about all the receivers in the state of Florida and defensive backs know about him. They're well aware of him. Carson is the reigning Mr. Football in the state of Florida, even though he's got off to a sort of rocky start to his senior season down there for Mandarin High. I would say that, you know, his pull really works better for the state of Florida, but also, folks, I think they forget a lot of times as Alabama still searches for its 2020 quarterback, and we hear all these rumblings on the recruiting trail about five-star Bryce Young potentially flipping from USC to Alabama. But at one time, Carson Beck was Alabama's 2020 quarterback, and he was visiting there as an Alabama recruit. And folks got to know him on the national stage a little bit, all these prospects did, as the big-time talent that was committed to Alabama. So I just think it's different, Brandon, with the way Beck can attract and appeal to different recruits. Kind of not the same lane as a Justin Fields and a Jake Fromm was. Those guys were actually more home-based in Georgia, and then they started flapping their wings, so to speak, when they went to the national events like the opening. I think Carson Beck will be a major benefactor or a major ambassador for Georgia this weekend. But don't forget, five-star running back Kendall Milton,
yeah,
a very down-low OG recruiter for Georgia, is going to be in town this weekend as well. Is Tate Ratledge going to be there? Currently, the list has 7 of the 16 public commitments in town for this weekend, and a lot of them just can't make it because of games. Mekhi Sherman's a great example. He's another effective recruiter, but IMG Academy and St. John's College in Washington, D.C. play a game on Saturday. I believe that kickoff's at 2 p.m. in D.C., and it's just not very possible unless somebody hops on Corey Wren's back or something like that for anybody to play a game from 2 to 5 in D.C. on Saturday and then be in Athenstown for Georgia-Notre Dame at 8 p.m.
It's our Marlowe's Tavern Insider Update with Jeff Sintel. Of course, I want to remind you again how excited I am about this upcoming Thursday for our first live broadcast of Marlowe's matchup this season at the Marlowe's and Petrie Corners. Can't wait to have you there and be a part of that. The address once again, in Petrie Corners, 5210 Town Center Boulevard. That's 5210 Town Center Boulevard. It comes up this Thursday. Myself, John Stinchcomb, looking ahead to Notre Dame. You better believe we'll be talking plenty of recruiting there, too. So come on by and see us. Let's hang out. Let's talk some football and enjoy some great food, some craft cocktails, chef-inspired food there at Marlowe's Tavern. Of course, famous for their hospitality. They're going to be rolling out the red carpet for us this upcoming Thursday. Can't wait to have you there for that. Let's talk about Noah Sewell now, Jeff, for a minute, too. Because Sewell, I believe, is also coming in for a big visit to Georgia, an official visit for Sewell as well, I believe. And I'll admit, because of the fact that he's from Utah, I got a brother playing from Oregon, I'm not as confident that I know exactly what it is that he's looking for from Athens on Saturday. If it's a kid from Florida or Alabama or Georgia, then I think I have a pretty good idea. SEC footprint wants SEC atmosphere, wants that kind of rabid crowd and intensity of the game. you know, for Sewell, who's, you know, from a long way away, different region of the country, what's important to him about a visit this weekend?
I think it's just a big football experience. I think there's no small secret that Noah Sewell wants to test his game against the very best players in the country. And there's no small coincidence, Brandon, that two of the three teams that have been longtime scheduled official visits for Mr. Sewell are in the SEC. That's Georgia and Texas A&M. I think he's going to be impressed by the fervor and the crowd and just what SEC football and Georgia football and a big-time home game will look like in Athens. He's a guy that's just now bouncing back from an injury he suffered early in his high school season during fall camp. And he's going to be in town. I'm sure all the pomp and circumstances of things like game day, a night game inside Sanford Stadium, I think that will impress him a lot because, you know, most of his background is Nevada, University of Nevada, University of Oregon. His brother plays there. It'll be very interesting to see. And really what he's always stated to me is he wants to find a place where he fits in, where he feels a part of a group with the linebacker room. And I don't know, some of his social media, Brandon, I know you still need to get your black belt on Instagram, but he's been tagging current Georgia players about looking forward to seeing them in Athens this weekend, guys like Tate Crowder. He really feels like there's already a good fit with him inside Glenn Schumann's inside linebacker room at the University of Georgia. And this is a visit I think I would watch really closely because I don't think Noah is currently tethered to any sort of All-American game to announce his decision. So he's a guy that has told me in the past that he wants to make his decision before his senior year is over.
Let me ask you a practical question before we move on and talk about a couple of other things. When Georgia has this many visitors on campus, you know, there were moments last year where you had a lot of these elite recruits on the campus, on the field at the same time. What kind of challenge does that present for Kirby Smart, for the assistant coaches, in terms of making sure everybody gets the love they need to see, especially for someone like Sewell, who relationships may be important for? How important is it for Georgia, and I guess more importantly, how difficult is it for Georgia to make sure it gives enough quality face time to everyone who wants it, needs it? Is that a challenge for the UGA coaches on a weekend like this?
I don't think it's a challenge at all, Brandon. I think it's something that they would relish, and I think that's what they work for and they recruit so hard for. Is there's a moment like this Saturday that, let's face it, Brandon, there's only going to be probably two crowds like this inside Sanford Stadium this year. I don't think there was one like this one inside Sanford Stadium last year, and yet the Tennessee game was one that kind of sealed the deal a little bit for Lewis Cine, and then the Auburn game was one that, you know, really, really got the feels going for Tyreek Stevenson last year in the 2019 class. But, man, I think this one's going to be beyond bonkers. Let me reference the examples of how Georgia tries to recruit, Brandon. And when you think about assistant coaches and so many prospects and how much time, let me share an example from David Daniel. David Daniel was at the Murray State game, of all things. And Charlton Warren, the defensive backs coach, came and grabbed his little sister, which is a 2-year-old sister, and he just trotted her around the field during warm-ups prior to that game.
Wow,
and
yeah.
Brandon, that was some of the most effective recruiting Charlton Warren could do. Number one, because this is a young lady that doesn't warm up to a lot of strangers really fast, but she was a fast friend with Charlton Warren, and David Daniel and his family, the 2021 recent commitment, are watching Charlton, and they're watching their young daughter, Araya, and they're getting the cheese and they're getting the big wild smiles, the big grins, and they knew that they saw something special at Georgia. Another part of Daniel's visit is Eric Stokes was, of all people, one of the players just came by and just said, welcome to Georgia, to David Daniel, and that meant a whole lot. Kirby Smart walks by, and there's not really much left for him to do. All he says is, enjoy the game, son. They end up talking afterward. And I think the big stretch of time, Brandon, because I think, like, Theo Johnson, for example, and Darnell, for example, they both have off weekends this weekend with their high school programs. So they will be in on Friday afternoon, Friday evening. I think Theo's plan lands somewhere around 6 p.m., or he gets into Athens at 6 p.m. on Friday night. So they'll have a lot of time on Friday and a lot of time on game day to just marinate in all that Athens, Georgia has to offer this weekend. And you know, that's a good story there with Stokes and Daniel. It reminds me of guys like Mecole Hardman coming over to prospective recruits on the sidelines and just quickly dapping a guy up, saying welcome to Georgia. And that stuff goes a long way when that love is shown during pregame, right before a game, when they're there supposedly to watch a game and to watch these players perform, and those players carve out a little niche of time just to swing by really fast in the middle of a drill.
You've reported in the forum at forum.dognation.com that you don't expect five-star running back Zachary Evans to be in Athens on Saturday. Is that meaningful in any way? Does that symbolize anything in terms of Evans' current relationship with UGA?
Brandon, I think that's a good thing for what's most important for Zachary Evans right now. I think Zachary Evans needs to focus on his high school team, his high school season, and his high school football program rather than another marquee visit to go check out a college program. I think that's an example of a good thing for Zachary Evans by not being in Athens this weekend. I think he needs to take care of his high school program and its needs and obligations first.
Jeff Sintel, really good stuff. Thanks for being a part of our Marlowe's Tavern Insider Update. We'll see folks this Thursday, 6 p.m. at the Marlowe's in Peachtree Corners for our Marlowe's matchup with John Stinchcomb. And, Jeff, I'll see you Wednesday for Before the Hedges as well. Talk to you then.
Yeah, Brandon, what are we going to talk about, sir?
There'll be plenty to do, no doubt about that.
Thanks, sir.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Yeah, really excited about Saturday, excited about the atmosphere that's going to be in place. It's going to be kind of a historic day for Georgia in terms of, I mean, I've heard as many as, I hear all these numbers, there could be as many as 100,000 people in Athens on Saturday that don't have tickets, in addition to the 93, 94, however many it's going to get into being, that do. It's just going to be a crazy day. It was crazy back in 2017 when these two teams got together. It's going to be the same way again. It's, in some respects, it's sort of hard to know why it keeps getting as big as it does, but the hype is pretty much off the charts. And, of course, for a lot of you that live in major cities or outside kind of our typical Dog Nation footprint, you'd like to be able to create your own atmosphere like that. And one of the best ways I think you can do that is to find a UGA alumni group in your area. There are a lot of them, and you can be a part of one of the watch parties that goes on there. I mean, listen, there are, as I said before, 324,000 alumni kind of spread out here, more than 80 chapters of the UGA Alumni Association, and many of them get together and watch these kinds of games, which creates a great atmosphere. It's a great way to make friends because, let's face it, the kinds of people that you went to school with, even if you didn't know them, are the kinds of people that you're likely to have a lot in common with right now. So a great way to build those relationships. It's also a great way to keep up to date with all the things the UGA Alumni Association is doing to raise money for the school and also contributing acts of service for the school as well. We have been talking about the UGA Alumni Association for a long time, and I'm always amazed by just how forward-thinking they are in terms of making the next generation for UGA even better than the school that so many of my audience has experienced. And so I would invite you to go to this website to kind of get more involved and just have some fun, maybe by watching a game as soon as this weekend. How about alumni.uga.edu/gamewatching? That website one more time, alumni.uga.edu/gamewatching, and certainly enjoy the game wherever you happen to be this upcoming weekend. Now, speaking of games, of course, Georgia Notre Dame, not the only big one. Let's take a moment to preview the other big games of the weekend. I'll give you kind of a brief thought on a few of these. And by the way, Mike Frank, Irish Sports Daily, going to join us a couple of minutes after that. Tennessee is at Florida. Florida is a 2-touchdown favorite. The big story here is that Kyle Trask is now the quarterback after the pretty horrific Felipe Franks injury. And I like making fun of Florida as much as anybody. I'm not going to make fun of Franks, though, after that injury. Kind of a scary scene there that night. Thankfully, the TV didn't show the replay more than they did. However, the football part of this, I hate to say it this way, but it's just true. You can get college football fans in some measure, at least a lot of college football fans, you can get them to believe virtually anything. You got a lot of Florida fans right now who are convinced that Kyle Trask is going to step in and be the savior of Florida season. Do y'all realize that he's going to start his first game Saturday since he was like a freshman in high school? Trask essentially was not a starter for his high school team, but he's going to be the starter for the Florida Gators. This is the classic example of just believing what you want to believe. Now, I'm not going to tell you that Florida's going to lose to Tennessee, but as bad as Tennessee's been, do I think they could keep this closer on Saturday than the experts might think? Yeah, I do. First of all, I've kind of gone in on Tennessee too much to sell low on them now. Being a little more competitive with Florida, it's certainly a possibility. Florida has some real problems, and switching from Felipe Franks to Kyle Trask is not going to fix much of that. LSU's at Vanderbilt. They are a huge favorite, much the same way Georgia was. I'm guessing you'll also see the stands pretty much loaded with LSU fans, much the same way it was with Georgia a little earlier, too. This entire thing could be a carbon copy when it comes to all of that. Watch out for Ole Miss against Cal on Saturday. I know most people think of Ole Miss being a terrible team. I've suggested that they are among the worst in the SEC. Doesn't mean they couldn't be a little bit of a team to watch as a slight home favorite against Cal. I think Auburn, Texas A&M is a great game. A&M getting a little bit of a favorite's advantage because they're playing at home. Historically, remember this. A&M has not always played well in its SEC home games, and a lot of those have come against Auburn. Now, has that recently changed? Yeah. But Kyle Field has not always been the house of horrors for the opposition that you might think it should be. South Carolina, Missouri, I think, is a very interesting game. Kentucky, Mississippi State, pretty interesting. I'm also watching outside the SEC a little bit. I'm going to watch for Michigan at Wisconsin. I'll tell you why. A lot of attention being paid to Jim Harbaugh right now from the standpoint that Harbaugh has just underperformed at Michigan. There's no way around that. One of the things he has not done, although he's been an underdog a few times, they haven't won a game outright as an underdog since Harbaugh's been there. There are plenty of people who tell you it's over and done. Harbaugh has been proven to be an overrated coach. But just how true is that? We may find out against Wisconsin for the Wolverines a little bit on Saturday. We'll make that your SEC throw. I'll also remind you about my friends at MyBookie. Of course, if you're looking to get some action down on any of these games, MyBookie, a great place to go for that. Big first deposit bonus. You can get your first deposit doubled, but you got to use the promo code DOGNATION. It's all one word. Spell the way it's supposed to be, DAWG, all one word, DOGNATION, at MyBookie. After that, you play, you win, you get paid. So just type in MyBookie to your browser, get in there. They've also got great player perks for you all season long. And if you're a daily fantasy player or whatever, they've got some really cool kind of over-under things you can do about how many fantasy points a player is going to score each game. So use your fantasy knowledge to also benefit your wagering, too. That's all going on at MyBookie. Find them online. Type in MyBookie and then use the promo code DOGNATION. You can get a big first deposit bonus. All right, it's great to have you with us today here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by DeamerBox. I want to look a little bit more closely at the situation with Georgia and Notre Dame on Saturday, and I want to get some information coming from the South Bend side of things. A guy we've had on the program a few times before is Mike Frank. Does a great job covering the Irish for Irish Sports Daily, and he joins us here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by DeamerBox here today. Mike, welcome back to our program. Hope you're doing well, and we really appreciate you making some time for us today.
Yeah, no problem, Brandon. How are you, man?
I'm doing really well. It's kind of funny. You know, you and I talked for the first time, I want to say probably summer of 2017. At that point in time, the first Georgia-Notre Dame game seemed like a long way away. Certainly the return date back to Athens seemed forever away. And here we are on Saturday about to officially conclude this little short two-game series for these two teams. It's been fun from our side of things to have Georgia involved in kind of this intersectional matchup. I'm sure that Notre Dame would kind of feel the same way, I guess. So looking forward to seeing these two teams back together on Saturday.
Yeah, it was interesting because I think at that time both of us were kind of in the same position of, hey, we're rebuilding this thing and we think we're on the verge of something pretty special. And it turned out, you know, for both teams, we're kind of both on the cusp of that. And this will probably be a big determination of how well each team's season goes. And so, huge game for Notre Dame, huge game for Georgia. You know, I didn't feel real great about the game in 2017, and I probably feel a little less confident this game. You know, I think Notre Dame's got some issues they need to clean up, and I have not been real impressed with their play so far, and so it will be an interesting game to see whether they can fix all the issues they have before this game, because they're going to need to. I think Georgia matches up really well with Notre Dame, and I'd have to give the advantage to Georgia right now.
Well, one of the things from the Georgia side that has come up a lot when looking at Notre Dame is obviously Ian Book. Georgia has not always fared great against running quarterbacks. Many defenses don't. Jalen Hurts, for instance, in the SEC championship game a year ago, unfortunately for my audience, comes to mind. So there's a lot of respect in Athens for Book. As someone who watches every snap that he takes, what can you tell us about what makes Ian such a dangerous quarterback to defend?
Well, you know, the thing about Book is he sees things very, very quickly, and he can get the ball out very, very quickly. And that, I think, is his best strength. He's very, very good at reading defenses. He's pretty good with the RPO. And, you know, the thing that's been kind of crazy with him is Lately, teams have been putting a lot of pressure on him, and he hasn't reacted well. Before, he was reacting better to that, but really at the end of USC last year, the USC game and the Clemson game, he didn't handle it very well. And so far, he hasn't done that great of a job until really about the second quarter of last week, and he started to look like Ian Book again. So that was an encouraging sign for Irish fans that he started to play like the player we thought and had been hoping for. But, you know, he's had some struggles recently and hasn't been quite as accurate and quite as you know, efficient as he was before. So I think it's probably a case of, you know, a guy putting too much on his shoulders, you know, wants to be the guy. He's a captain for the first time. And I think it's just one of those things where he's just trying to do too much. And he needs to just be the guy he is, which is a distributor of the football. And I think if they can talk him into that, you'll see a better Ian Book on Saturday night. But, you know, I'm just a little bit worried about Notre Dame being able to run the ball and stop the run in this game.
Yeah, let me talk about that second part of that for a moment, because obviously Georgia fans have noticed that statistically the Irish have had a difficult time in stopping the run, and I'm not telling you anything you don't know. Georgia's got waves of running backs. Now, oftentimes, games aren't as easy to handicap as that. You know, one team's performed poorly in stopping the run. One team has good running backs, so it's cut and dry, as simple as that. But it is a little bit of a glaring issue in this game. One area in which, you know, Georgia has made a concerted effort to remain strong at would be an area in which Notre Dame's had some trouble up to this point in time. How could that potentially be different for a Notre Dame than some people expect it to be?
Well, they have a bunch of young guys playing. You know, they've got a first-time starter at the Rover position, which is an outside linebacker position. You know, they have a butt position, a guy who has played there before but wasn't very successful. He's back there now and actually had a really good game last week, so that's encouraging. And then a brand-new Mike linebacker, and I think that that's been a real big problem with them. It's just kind of maybe overrunning plays, not taking the best angles to plays. I think that those have been really the main issues they've had. The front has done a pretty solid job of clogging up the middle, but there's usually just some crease, and I'm a little bit worried about Georgia getting to the perimeter. You know, obviously DeAndre Swift is very fast and one of the best running backs in the country, and you know, they're going to have to stop him somehow. And if they can't stop him, it's going to be a long day for Notre Dame.
I want to talk to you about the atmosphere for the game for a moment. You know, for Georgia fans, this is – it's almost even difficult to explain why the game is as anticipated as it is. It's a top-10 matchup. That helps. Georgia hasn't played a lot of non-conference intersectional games like this. That's a big deal. Notre Dame obviously has the historic cachet as well. Longtime college football fans certainly know all of that. So kind of all of that kind of mixes together for really one of the most anticipated home games that I can remember Georgia having, and I've been around for a while. It's been a while since Georgia's had one that's as anticipated as this one is. On the Notre Dame side of things, you know, virtually every, at least about half the games that Notre Dame plays are a version of a game like this, where it's going into some other region of the country and, you know, getting a lot of extra attention because of what the Irish brings to the table. But I'm curious about one point in particular. The fact that Notre Dame is playing an SEC team here, and the fact that, listen, there's no shortage of SEC pride from the schools in this conference, does that change the calculus at all for Notre Dame and make it bigger than the typical big game? I know that Kelly briefly mentioned the SEC and remarking something about Georgia yesterday, but overall, the fact that Georgia has the SEC logo on its uniform, does that do anything for Notre Dame at all?
I'm not sure it does anything for Notre Dame in particular, but I do think it does something for Notre Dame in the eyes of people who matter. And I think that that's the most important thing. You know, I think Notre Dame, you know, and it's kind of an interesting thing. Irish fans and Notre Dame gets kind of bashed because they won't join a conference. But, when, you know, Georgia fans and all fans need to look at this situation and that, heck, you know, Georgia fans are very excited to play Notre Dame in this environment. And the same goes for Notre Dame and Notre Dame fans. Why would we want to give up the ability to go play these big, giant games and everybody get excited? There would be no reason to do that unless you absolutely have to. I mean, these environments are what every college football player wants to be in, what every fan wants to be in. Nobody cares about, you know, Notre Dame beating the crap out of Northeast Louisiana State or, you know, one of those teams. Nobody cares about that. They want to see Notre Dame, Georgia, and that's why Notre Dame remains independent. That's why their fans want to remain independent. So they can go play Georgia. They can go play Texas A&M. They can go play Arkansas. to play Wisconsin and Green Bay, at the Packers field here shortly. So having the flexibility to do that is huge. And so I think it's Notre Dame fans and Notre Dame itself realize this is a huge opportunity. And every time they've been in this kind of environment, they've always come up a little bit short or sometimes way short. And so I think the big thing is just showing people that Notre Dame football is back and a team to be reckoned with. Unfortunately, I think the matchup in this game is going to make that difficult for Notre Dame. I just think Georgia has the type of strengths that match up very well against Notre Dame's weaknesses. And so that's going to make it a difficult task for Notre Dame. But one thing I will say is, however Notre Dame looked, if you look at last year, they really struggled against Ball State. They really struggled against Vanderbilt and then came out and won 12 games. So, it's however they looked is not probably how they're going to look on Saturday. One thing about this team is they do play hard. They are a team that plays with a lot of effort and a lot of fire. It's just I worry about some inside linebackers, outside backers getting lost. And if that's the case, that's going to be a tough situation for Notre Dame.
Let me do one more thing before we let you go, and we'll make this kind of a two-part question. In 2017, in September, Georgia fans traveling to Chicago and South Bend for that became just a huge thing. And I think for those of us who were there and a part of that, it's still the kind of thing that we talk about, how weird it looked to see what looked to be like 20-something thousand fans at a Cubs game on a Friday night, and every street corner in Chicago being loaded with red and black going into South Bend. And obviously there was a huge sowing from UGA fans there that day in South Bend. What was the Notre Dame response to seeing that many Georgia fans? And I guess I'm also curious of how big of a travel initiative might be in place for Notre Dame fans in terms of coming into Athens. I'm presuming Atlanta's a pretty big alumni hub for the university, as big as any major city would be, I'm guessing. What's the kind of Notre Dame idea about trying to make their way into the Peach State and be in Athens themselves this upcoming weekend?
Well, I know there's certainly a lot of guys that are trying to get tickets, and I know that there's quite a few people I know who are successful in getting them. There's no way they're going to get anywhere near the number of people that Georgia did. And the problem with Notre Dame is they have a global audience. And so what that means is there's people all over the world who like Notre Dame. That there's also people all over the world who donate to Notre Dame. Therefore, they get access to tickets. And, chances are when you live in Los Angeles, you can really only afford to go to Notre Dame maybe once or twice. And so what happens is these people, sell their tickets and try and make a profit on these tickets so they can pay for their two trips that they do make.
Yeah.
And I hate seeing that. Notre Dame could do something about that, but they refuse to do something about that. And I know a lot of Irish fans are very angry about that. But, when you talk to the people who live out in L.A., they say, I have access to tickets. I get access by donating. With Georgia, obviously, I'd say probably 70% of their fans are within 100 square miles of the city. And yeah. So that's a big advantage. And, it's kind of like I live in Nebraska, and, every single person that I know goes to every single game. And so you can't do that as a Notre Dame fan living in Los Angeles or living in New York or in Florida. It's just too darn expensive to do.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Well, Mike, we appreciate your time and your expertise on Georgia's opponent for this upcoming Saturday. And for the folks who might want to find out a little bit more about what's going on with Notre Dame and some of the ways in which these two programs have overlapped in recruiting, because whether it be Tommy Tremble or Kyle Hamilton, some names like that, there has been some overlap here. How can folks find Irish Sports Daily online?
That's it. Go to irishsportsdaily.com and check us out. We got a lot of good coverage about the game, and looking forward to it. I'm really excited about it, and I know Georgia fans were wonderful when they were up here, and that was exciting and encouraging that they showed such class, in the wind and everything, and I'm certain Notre Dame fans will do the same.
Well, that's great to hear. And I know a lot of Georgia fans are looking forward to returning some of the hospitality, because I'm not just saying this. It's been well documented. Notre Dame really rolled out the red carpet. I'm presuming they do that for every opponent, but Georgia fans felt especially honored to have been in a Notre Dame stadium 2 years ago. So they're looking forward to hopefully getting a chance to return that favor to the Irish here this weekend as well.
All right, sounds good. Well, we'll talk hopefully soon.
Sounds good. That's Mike Frank there, Irish Sports Daily. Really good stuff from him. By the way, while I have your attention, let me also remind you about some good stuff coming up with our friends at Callaway Resort and Gardens. You know, they have their new Fall Adventure Pass. It's an activity pass program. And listen, the fall is a great time to get to Callaway Resort and Gardens. And the Fall Adventure Pass, a great way to take advantage of a lot of the things they have going on. Maximize both the fun and the savings of all of that. Here's a couple things it includes. Bike rental, treetop adventure, tennis time, shore fishing. Great price as well. It's just $40 plus tax and fees. You can go to CallawayGardens.com to find out more about that. You can also purchase at the Callaway Information Center at the Treetop Adventure Course as well. So CallawayGardens.com to find out more about that. Y'all, when I tell you, my family loves Callaway Resort and Gardens, and that's not puffery. That's indeed the case. We had a great time there this past summer. And I think the fall, cooler temperatures. Boy, what a great time to be in a beautiful, beautiful location. Short drive from Atlanta, too. Easy to get there. Callaway Gardens, the Fall Adventure Pass, Callaway Resort and Gardens, a great, great weekend getaway. Don't forget, bye week next Saturday, a pretty good chance to take advantage of some of that. All right, really good stuff on the program here today. By the way, game day in Athens on Saturday. What's the chance we could get a Gator Hater sign on the game day set on Saturday? Can we get one of those big festival poles, something like that? Is there any chance our buddy Eddie can make his way onto the TV screen on Saturday? Maybe a little bit of a long shot. I wouldn't mind seeing that. I think that'd be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to the atmosphere. Would love nothing more than a little Gator Hater sign to show up. Send the message to the folks in Gainesville that Georgia hasn't forgotten about them. Georgia's got some business to take care of. And as Florida continues to roll along and do whatever they're going to do with their backup quarterback and everything else, just remind them that, listen, it's been a little while since they've had some success against the Georgia Bulldogs. It's going to be a little while longer. By the way, how about that? 1,053 days. That's our Gator Hater Updater. That's how long since Florida's beaten Georgia. Thanks for being with us on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Diemerbach. We'll look forward to seeing you again tomorrow.